This morning, I thought, if the Lord will, we'll look at our speech and just, I guess, not just our speech, but, well, I guess it was a speech more of the wicked that you see in the world today versus the righteous, what the Scripture says. And you know, we all know this, and just warnings, I guess, that the Bible gives of these days that we're living in. And you see more and more of that in the wicked and how the wicked prospers. And, you know, I've said before, Mr. Grizzle and I always talked years ago, and I'm talking, this was, I don't know, probably 20 years ago almost, we'd talk about what does sorcery mean, you know, in the end times. And you see it in the New Testament, of course, that means pharmaceutical. And we'd always think about, now, how's that going to play a role? Of course, we think about how drugs play a role today. And just especially in our area here and just all over the country. And then we used to think, too, he and I would talk about pestilence and disease. And so we'd say, well, now, you know, they're coming out with different vaccines, and we got different handle on different types of infections and, you know, this, that, and the other, new antibiotics. And he and I did. I mean, this was probably 20 years ago. And, you know, you always think through that. So, you know, how's that going to occur? What's going to happen? Well, now, of course, we had that flu strain this year that, you know, Australia saw it first, and we saw it. And what I mean is a country, as a nation, and it was the first time they'd seen it. And they wondered, where did it come from? And, you know, it's a different strain. And so that kind of helps, you know, as you look and you read through Scripture and you wonder, now, how's these things going to happen? What do they mean, sorcery and pharmaceuticals? How's that going to play a role? Everybody's going to have prescriptions? No, that's not the case. It turns out that drugs in general become a problem. And, you know, you think about that and how, you know, that's an epidemic, so to speak. And same way with the disease and infections that we have and, you know, antibiotics, you know, they're running out of them. But anyway, I say that because it's the same with, I think, our speech and what we hear and things we see probably 20, 30 years ago. And some of you older than I am, maybe even 40 years ago, you might have thought, well, I wonder how that's going to happen. I wonder how that's going to take place. And now you can look back and say, well, I can see that. TV's an avenue for that, so to speak. And you remember I've mentioned before a lot of the preachers, old-time preachers I'm talking about, that I've only heard about or read about, I mean, commentaries they've left, or maybe other people would tell me that, oh, yeah, we had a preacher back when I was young that talked about the TV when it came into the house and how it changed. And, you know, I think I shared with you guys how, you know, CBS said that now we can control the way Americans think. And that was their comment. They meant by advertisements. And so anyway, you know, you think back and you look back to, you know, you read Scripture. And, well, how's that going to occur? You know, you go over and read Daniel or maybe Revelation. But God's got a plan. And it's occurring. Regardless of what we do or what man does, so to speak. And why I've got you here, and I had to think about this, and I saw Danita, and Danita said, uh-oh, he saw me, what does that mean? You know, Vacation Bible School will be coming up this summer, and we was looking at a theme, and I was studying, and might do this for a lesson, Lord willing, next Sunday. It kind of led me to this, but while I saw Danita, I wanted to mention it to Christian virtues, or I look over in Colossians, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I don't know, Danita, if you'll take a look at that, Pastor, or anybody in here, if you'll look over at Colossians chapter 3 and those latter verses, 15, 16, 17, and see if that might be a good theme for our Vacation Bible School this summer. Just be ye thankful. And anyway, just if you'll look at that and see, there's a lot of things in those 15, 16, 17. And we don't have to. And again, that's for everybody to look at for the summer. Just FYI. And that was on my mind. I've been studying that. But this morning we're going to be in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Here now, I was talking about Colossians, and I got 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll go over there. And just verse number 10, I'll give you time to get there. And see, my Bible here that I have, it got a little heading above that. It says to Corinthian problems. And one of those is division. Now, what we're going to try to look at this morning is division in this world as well. The wicked versus the righteous. And that's what, now I'm leaning too far forward, Richard. I'm starting to whistle a little bit and he's standing up, so I didn't know. But I lean up on this table and it kind of helps. I told Kim this morning, I said, I don't know if it's bad weather. I had somebody down in Houston tell me, he said, oh, that hip's going to bother you like bad weather. And so bad weather comes in, that hip's going to bother you. And I thought, oh, she don't know what she's talking about. And I tell you what, about every storm front we have come through, boy, it just bothers me. And I have to twist around. And I guess like somebody with bad knees would. So I told Kim that this morning. I said, you know, I hate to say she was right, but I said, I believe she's right. But now, last week when it was 75, I'd say she was wrong. You know, the sun was out. But boy, when this storm's come through. So just pardon me if I seem like I'm leaning more to one side. It's not anything really any different. It's just this morning happens to be one of those type mornings. Where I've got those aches and pains a little bit. So I'll read verse 10, chapter 1, Corinthians, and we'll think about our speech or how we speak. You know, we always want our speech to be so others can understand it. And that's how, of course, we think about Scripture. It's all for we all can understand it as we read it and look at it and try to see where the Lord leads us. And so now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. And as we think about that and we look there, it's have the same testimony, so to speak. You're on the same page. You have the same message. You know, Brother Steve, he does a good job with that as we go out on visitation. You know, that'll be coming up this Saturday. And we go out to the different homes and try to be a witness and share testimony and invite people to church, etc. But one thing Brother Steve does, he makes sure we're all on the same page before we leave. He says, okay, here's our topic for the month, so to speak. We've got revival this month, or we've got Vacation Bible School, or it's Thanksgiving, so we're going to have a dinner or whatever, so we're going to invite others to come. And, you know, he does that. And so that's what that means, is that ye all speak the same thing. And not only in action, but also literally in what we believe or what we say. And that there be no divisions among you. In other words, there be no dissension, be no quarrels, be no arguments. You know, you think about that. I had read something about in the marriage, the wedding we had here, the marriage had made me think about that last Sunday. And thought about divisions. And I remember somebody had written and said, yeah, but, you know, don't apply that to a marriage. There's always going to be differences anyway. I say that to be funny because, you know, I was laughing about that. But when we come down to the Word of God and things of God and what we're talking about here as far as quarrels or arguments, even in a family, they come to agreement or they speak both sides. They listen, so to speak. But with that, there's always good speech, so to speak. I'm going to use that word three times. But in other words, there's not a real quarrel. When you get down to the root of it, husband and wife are on the same page, so to speak. And that's what it means here, to be on the same page, no quarrel. So to be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together. See, joined together, and that's what made me think of marriage. In the same mind and in the same judgment. And as we look at that we think about, well, where are other places in the Scripture that compares the wicked versus the righteous, or what we should know or how we should act and conduct ourselves. So that's all we'll read as far as Corinthians. So that's kind of our base this morning. We're going to look at the divisions that we see here in life between the wicked and the righteous. And, you know, even David spoke of the lies and the cursing of the wicked. And if you go over and read over in Psalms, and spoke of his enemies and how they would curse God. Had no fear of God. And so David even knew there was a difference between the righteous and the wicked. And he wanted to be counted among the righteous. He did. And the children of God. And as we think about Solomon, he wanted the nation of Israel to be that way. Especially Solomon in his earlier years. And we think about, you know, I'm the one that always tries to break Solomon's life up into three stages. And maybe that's not true, but that's the way I think about Solomon. I think about the early years, the middle-aged, and then I think about the older Solomon, the elder Solomon, the one that wrote Ecclesiastes. It says, look, this is the whole duty of man, you know. So that's why I kind of look at when I think about Solomon. But even he, Solomon did, he knew of enticements of the world. And actually, I'll turn over to Proverbs here in just a second. You can stay where you're at or you can turn with me. But he talked about the enticements. And, you know, David talked about those things of the wicked. And this is what young people today, here I've already got over way over in Psalms. I said, David, I don't think understand. You know, they want to go out and do their own thing, be their own person. And that's fine. I guess you got to learn. I know my dad always used to say that. You'll learn. You'll learn. I remember hearing that. And again, he passed away when I was young. But I do remember that comment a lot is that you'll learn. And my brother and I, we had a motorcycle. And I guess it was between us, you know, we couldn't afford to have two. My dad got a good price on a used one. And it was like an XR 100 or 125 or something, one of those dirt bikes, you know. And of course, you have a septic tank back in the day, and some people still have those today, I guess. Not everybody's on city sewer, but back then, you know, that's what we had, septic tank. And it had problems. You say, where is he going with this? And I remember they had to dig it up and replace it. They left a big mound of dirt the day before they was going to replace it, and we had to stay at my grandparents. But anyway, my brother got back, and I got back over there on that motorcycle. And of course, that big mound of dirt, you know. And I remember he held on to the back of me, and I hit that big mound of dirt wide open, as fast as I could go. And I guess we went in the air just soaring. I don't know. Back then it seemed like he was 20 feet up, but we might have been 3 or 4 feet off the ground. Of course, when we hit and landed, we crashed, and he went flying. And anyway, got all bruised up, and I remember my dad walking over there and didn't even have a helmet on. You know, we were just could have got hurt bad. But I remember my dad's comment was, "He'll learn." In other words, my brother learned not to get on with me when I try to convince him. So that's a simple example, but that's really a lot of what we see here in the world, and a lot of as far as the wicked is. You hope they'll learn. You know, I think about the prodigal son and how he took what belonged to him and he left. Then the world enticed him. It looked better than it did living at home with dad and mom and brother and working. It looked better for him to pack everything up that he had and wanted at that time. And what happened? He learned. He figured out when he was down in the hog pen that it was a whole lot better even with servants and back in where he was at. And I hope as adults, this is adult class, that over time we've learned that. But again, you may see that. I'm sorry. I hope we've learned that over time. But still, we've got kids and grandkids and even people you work with that you share that with that said, you know, there's a certain time, if my brother had kept riding with me, eventually he'd have got hurt. He could have got injured. You know, anything could have happened, especially things we did. But, we had time to get through that. If you ask him about that now, he laughs. But when it comes down to your soul and salvation, that's no laughing matter. And you guys know that, I'm sure. But that's what our family that maybe doesn't know the Lord, or maybe our friends or neighbors, they need to realize that there's only so many of those you'll learn times that come along. And I think about only so many times you'll hear the gospel preached. Maybe only so many times somebody knocks on your door during visitation. Only so many times you get invited or you feel the Holy Spirit working on you that you need to go, come up front to the altar and turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Be saved, so to speak, is what I'm trying to get to. There only may be so many knocks at the door. And that's why it's so important today. But anyway, Proverbs 7. I don't even know where I was going to go here. Let me find it here in just a second. It talks more about the wiles of the harlot. But that really, if you look at that, that's enticements of the world. If you look down through there, and we won't read, I'll just read one verse at the end. But verse number 5, they that may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And what that's talking about, those first four verses above, that's wisdom. And having the wisdom to stay out of the things of the world or the enticements of the world because it looks so good. And as I used to when I read that, I have to admit back, you know, I would read that and I would think wiles of the harlot or of the prostitute or whatever you want to say. But as you read that and you studied that more in depth, again, that's about just us going through the world and how it entices us. And you better be careful because even as adults, it can get its hold on you. And the next thing you know, you're tied up into things that you never thought you'd be tied up in. So as you look through there, like verse number 6, and I'll read that to you. I'll read 5 again, then 6. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I look through my casement. Or in other words, I look through the lattice, or look through the screen, so to speak. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. In other words, he hasn't learned yet. Or maybe she doesn't know yet. In other words, a lot of times as parents or grandparents or neighbors or friends, you can see that. I know since I work in the college, and I see a lot of young people, and we're advisors to a certain number of students. And sometimes those students will come by, and sometimes they'll get in trouble. I haven't had many over the years get in trouble. Every now and then I'll have one or two get in trouble. And, of course, they send them to me. And a lot of times I'll think about, what did you do? What happened? And varies among different things. It's not in the classroom. If they get in trouble outside the classroom, maybe their name appears in the paper over the weekend or something, then we have to deal with that. And I think that's a good thing that they do, because there's some accountability, so to speak, on their end, because, again, they're young adults. But I say that it depends on what that is. And I have looked at them before and said, you haven't learned yet, or what were you thinking, or were you not thinking, that type of thing. And that's what this refers to here. But there are ones who are unwise to the ways of the world, so to speak, or the wiles of the devil that we think about. I remember that Wile E. Coyote. That was why they used to call him Wile E. I didn't know that at the time until you watch a coyote. And if you've ever seen them, and you think about that, and it makes me think about, they called it that during the Roadrunners, what it was, but the Wile E. Coyote and the wiles of the devil. And I was talking, I guess, to Maggie, and I was trying to explain. She said, what does that mean, wiles of the devil? We ride down the road, and I said, and I use this example. I said, you remember that Wile E. Coyote? And he said, yeah, yeah. And I said, remember, he was always up to something, always moving, always during that, he was always trying to catch that Roadrunner. I said, if you've ever watched a coyote, they're the same way. The actual animal, always moving. I don't think I've ever seen one stand still. Always moving. Always got their nose to the ground. Always looking. Always smelling. Always trying to look for that next meal. They're scavengers in a way. You let your little house dog out and they figured it out. And they'll wait outside by the mailbox. And when it comes out and you go in, they've got their meal for the night. Wily, and I think about that. The wiles of the devil's the same way. Always up to something. Always moving. Always got a plan. Always looking for that next young man, that next young woman, that next older man, older woman, that next church member that maybe goes somewhere they shouldn't go, or starts getting into things they shouldn't be. You think about that. That's the difference. The wickedness in this world versus the righteous and the actions of each. And so I think about that, and I know that's a simple example, but that was an example I kind of gave her of what's the wiles of the devil mean. It doesn't mean stop for a while, I guess you could say that, but I think about that always looking for that next meal, so to speak. That next, as for the coyote goes, but as far as the devil, that next heart that they can pull away or darken. With things of this world. And last but not least there, and I said I'd read the last verse, it says, for she hath cast down many wounded. And that tells me that this world has had its number of wounded, many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. We had a preacher come through here one time. It's been evangelist. I don't know. Some of you probably remember him. He was a young man. I can't remember his name. He was over in the other building. He preached off that verse, and I'll never forget what he used was, many strong men have been slain by her. And talked about, in the scripture, and he talked about that word strong, and what it meant was many men who you thought was sound in the Lord had been slain by her, or by things of this world, or enticements in this world. And if the strong man can be enticed and taken away by the world, what about maybe brethren that are weaker, a little weaker, maybe needs a little help or support sometimes? Maybe strayed away from the scripture and don't study the way they should. Maybe it's because of work or family matters or whatever's came up. And I remember, and I wish I could remember his name, Richard, and those guys may remember because they've been taping forever, but he talked about that, and that's always stuck with me. I think about that, you know, that, well, if you're among the strong, if somebody thought you were, if you thought you were, because it's usually in ourselves that we think more of ourselves than we ought to think. But the scripture already says, as a warning there, many strong men. Well, then if it's many strong men, and you're better off to think yourself weak and shy away and move away from the things of the world than you are thinking you think strong and going through.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would have thought one of the lion or the bear or Goliath would have got him. Yep, you're right. There's enticements of the world. That's a good. Yeah, that's good. And that's exactly what that's saying. You fall into the trap, and that goes back to the wiles of the devil. He knows. He's been dealing with man for many, many years. So that's the things to look out for and to think about. All right, let's move on. And just a couple more places. Look at my time. I did get some glasses. I tell you guys that. I told you the other week I was going. And they came in, and then I went by to get them, and they were closed for lunch. And I thought they didn't even invite me. That upset me. They called me and said, your glasses are in. I said, I'm coming over to get them. I go over to get them. I had a big sign on the door, closed for lunch. I told Kim, I said, I don't think they wanted to see me. And so I wasn't able to get them, but hopefully I can get them this week and can see a little better. If you turn over to, or if you want to, you can. I'm going to turn over to Romans, see what Paul has to say on this matter. And then we got a little something over to look at, over a couple chapters over, and then we'll be done. If you turn over to Romans, let's see now, what was that? Here, I should have wrote those down. I was studying, like I said, over in Colossians, and I told Kim, I said, Kim, that lesson there is just too big. And I said, that might be a good vacation Bible school topic. I don't know, but I said, I'm going to study that more for the next week, Lord willing. And I said, I've got something right here. And then I said, it's chapter 12. No. I said, it. I beseech you. No, that's not it. Not chapter 14, 15. I apologize. I tell you guys all the time from teaching in class, so you can't have a lot of break. If you do, you lose people. And I know that's the same way in Sunday school class, too. So I apologize. I like to keep things going. I think it's chapter 16. Romans. Let's see here. It is. Chapter 16. And what we'll look at here, of course, is, again, along the same lines, Paul gives us a warning. And again, talks about divisions. And remember, we were talking about divisions this morning, the wicked versus the righteous. And of course, I guess some people would say sinners and saints or whatever, but we're just looking at the enticements of the world versus the things of God. There's a division there, of course. Verse number 17, I think it is, or 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So, going back to the comment that Solomon had made about the strong men, and he'd given a warning. This doesn't say, and have the elders of the church, or have the, you know, pastor go, you know, rushing in on them, or have you go approach them, or I guess what I'm trying to say is, no matter, Paul's warning is, when you find those, avoid them. There's no need going and setting under that, let's say it's a preaching that maybe you don't agree with, but maybe you go and sit under that for a while, and you think, oh, that'll be fine. That's the closest thing to the house. I don't agree with that, but it's not what I know is true, but I'll be fine. Or you say, well, I'll just watch this on TV, and it won't be any harm to me. Next thing you know, you're watching more and more and more, whatever it may be. You know, Solomon's warning, and again, when he wrote Proverbs, I really think that was more of the younger man. He was writing maybe closer to middle age, writing gives advice to the children of Israel. Said, okay, if you want to live your life with wisdom, here's some proverbs, or here's some thoughts that I'll pass along to you for the children of Israel for their daily living. So if we take that, then you take what Paul is saying here. He says, mark them. In other words, note them. Know who they are. Know where it is. Know what's being said. Know the doctrine, so to speak. Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's just a doctrine that's going around. And he says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. In other words, against what you know to be true. And he says, which ye have learned, and avoid them. In other words, don't try to change it. Avoid them. Stay away from it. Run, staying clear. You know, almost like my dad on that motorcycle after my brother, got up and he was sore and this, that, and the other. My dad said, just don't get on with him. Just don't ride with him. He said, if you want, you know, he's going to jump those things and throw you off. Just don't get on with him. Stay away from him. Avoid that, so to speak. And you know, I told you that. And that's the same thing Paul's saying here too. Just avoid it. Just don't go around it. And that's his advice. We look at verse number 18. And he tells us why. He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. So Paul said, don't even fool with them. Don't waste your time. You know, sometimes I know that's what we tell our children. You know, they'll be going through a trying time. And I know it's hard for them to understand sometimes. Things will be going on at school or something may happen. I don't know what it'd be. Boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. I'm trying to think of examples that it would be. And you know, at an early age like that, they're teenagers or early 20s, whatever it is, you know that it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Let it pass. You know, avoid it. Just go on. And it's hard sometimes for them to see that. And they, oh, no, that's the end of their world. But you know, as a parent or grandparent, that it's not. That, you know, things will go on. Things will change. And that's what Paul here is avoid them, for they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Leave them alone. And by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Now see, I think we saw that simple again back over in Proverbs chapter 7. Remember, that's where the harlot looked out the window and she saw someone that was simple. He talked about the wisdom. And she picked him out and said, ah, there's one right there. You go through and read the rest of that chapter and you'll see what happens. That's the same way in this world too. We talked about the wiles of the devil. Something we need to be careful of is looks through the window, looks through the lattice, I think it said, or that's the same word, meant lattice, or I think of as a screen, and looks out and sees, oh, there's a simple one. There's someone unlearned. There's someone I can, bring them in, or so to speak. You know, you think about, and I got to go, I know it's a quarter till, but, and just come to mind, I didn't even think about this when I was studying, but you think about all these cults. That's what they do. They look and what? Oh, there's me one. Let me pick that one out. Well, I might be able to. You know, that looks like a lonely runaway or a teenager or maybe somebody's in prison. Or I know pastors talk about sometimes, you know, some of these movements in prisons. They get them all in maybe a certain religion or something.
They say most of those that are going into the cults come out of the religious realm, the churches. And
I've heard that. Yep, they're not founded. And I'd heard that, I heard that that's what they look for. And so I think about that too. They're looking for those, the simple ones, so to speak, and we need to avoid. So need to avoid those. Well, I didn't even get, not even probably a quarter way through the lesson. Actually, that came to my mind as I was looking over in Colossians about that something for our young people, even now, but also for us to keep in mind. As Christians, the wicked versus the righteous. And in this world, you know, as we saw over in Corinthians, we know with the wicked, I guess, as far as the lies and the cursing and the things we hear. But what about those subtle things that sometimes just passes us by and maybe we don't pay as much attention to? And you have to admit, I mean, along with me, maybe not, but things have changed. And now I'll tell you, and I've said this before, you know, there's still good people in the world.
Amen.
There are. And you don't know where you run across them, where you meet them. And just remember, I thought about this because especially been down in Houston, being in the hospital, you know, I'd run across good people. Sometimes you'd run across, they'd pray with you, or, you know, just good people. They'd ask you if you were saved, where you went to church. I mean, you know, and you wouldn't everybody come through the door, but you'd meet somebody. It might be at Cracker Barrel, or what, you never know where it'd be. But what I was thinking is this, and I thought about the class. We need to conduct ourselves, as it said in Corinthians, cause no divisions, be on the same page, so to speak, so that when we go out, we're that person that somebody meets and says, you know, there's still good people in the world. You know, I think about that. As somebody meets you, here in the church we are together, but somebody meets you, whether it's on a job, grocery store, wherever it may be, you may be a blessing to somebody else in their life and cause them to say, you know, there's still good people in this world. There's still people that love God in this world. And you might run across somebody who says, I didn't think there was until I met you, whoever it may be. And, you know, I have to admit, a few times I would think that somebody would come in and be a nurse or something. They'd ask me, or I'd be reading scripture. I told you about that email I got from that young lady. It said, my dad used to make us recite that in the car. And think on these things. You know, and that came out of the blue. I didn't realize that. She said, I didn't know anybody still looked at that. You know, you strive to be that person to somebody else. That's all I've got this morning. We're finished. And see, I need to start saying I'm finished about 20 till. And see, the preacher's rubbed off on me. I say that at a quarter till, and it goes two or three more minutes. So, all right. Enjoy. You got plenty of time to visit.